Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, it's a showdown. John Kerry gives Russia until Monday, just 2.5 days away, to basically hand over all of their interest in eastern Ukraine or, quote, face serious repercussions. I think Russia's already facing the repercussions of the West destabilizing their country. And again, it's not that I'm saying the Russian government's flawless or perfect in this, but clearly the West is the aggressor. The EU globalist combine is trying to start a major destabilizing regional war that could lead to something much larger. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, Russian troops, of course, have been massing on the border with eastern Ukraine. New York Times reported that yesterday. Kremlin website today hit by powerful cyber attack. We're going to be breaking that down. Russian government banned several websites critical of the government. Again, war is the health of the state. This is going to let Putin cement power, what's happening, by the way, and will reverse any freedom reforms that were actually taking place in Russia. Bloomberg reports that Russia is preparing to invade East Ukraine, Estonia says. I mean, these are just incredible headlines. And they're not top news anywhere but Infowars.com and DrudgeReport.com and real media sites that actually care about not having World War III. And again, this is not even about Ukraine is run by something like North Korea and the Russians are involved, so we're going to attack them to liberate people in death camps. No, the globalists that run our country will put in authoritarian regimes in many cases. They're overthrowing Ukraine because it was elected. And because they didn't join the EU. It's just amazing that we're just here on the eve of possible destruction, surfing the apocalypse. And, I mean, there's like a 10% chance that we could have a hot war start. I'm being very conservative there. It could be a much higher percentage. And I told you, I've had a lot of dread the last 6 months, and it's been intensifying exponentially. And there's a lot of reasons. The economic meltdown, the cultural decay, evil being released on every level, the hedge of protection falling from our republic, clearly the Russia situation, the funding of Al-Qaeda publicly. The fact that all this is public now, that our government runs Al-Qaeda and is using the threat to take our rights, that the government's spying on us all illegally and using it to destroy their political opponents and shut down the press, that there's just ruthless looting going on everywhere. Government interests run most of the narcotics trafficking, launder the money with the big banks. And it's all come out, but then none of it gets reversed. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And historically, when governments don't get restrained and corporate interests don't get restrained, you get a World War I, a World War II. You get a huge European continent war. You get a Napoleonic war. It just follows a path. And I hope we don't go down this path all the way, but we've already gone down at about 80%. And we're fast approaching all-out war, and then Homeland Security will be used to clamp down domestically and organize the U.S. into a giant paramilitary force for all the wars. And you'll have to get in line because America's losing a war on multiple fronts. And they'll be able to then teach the kids how to wear dresses, the little boys, and put them all on drugs and forced inoculations and forced abortion and eugenics. Because that'll all be on the back burner now politically. You know, we got to do what we're told of Lord Obama with the big war going with Russia. And Russia's going to use this to clamp down and seize power. Not like Putin needed to begin with. It's just a bad situation. And that's putting it lightly, obviously. I do not have words at this point to describe how serious this is. Well, we're busy worried about the Malaysian flight, but some new developments on that we'll give you. We are literally on the edge of thermal nuclear war, any way you look at it. And I'm sorry, that's more important than Justin Bieber or Kanye West.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Well, we have got a jam-packed transmission lined up today, to say the least. Quite frankly, I should just cancel both the guests that are coming up today, but I'm not going to do it because both of the topics they're going to be covering are so incredibly important. But the situation with Russia has deteriorated so fast and is going the worst possible direction it could go, and exactly the way we thought it probably would go, but hoped it wouldn't, that we should all be at prayer vigils. We should all be getting right with God. People should be freaking out right now. Because John Kerry has said, and NATO has said, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman has said, Dempsey, that the United States with NATO is preparing military action, not just massive sanctions against Russia by Monday, if Vladimir Putin does not hand over Crimea and the gas pipelines that the Russians own and their bases basically to the EU for full looting. And it's two different global mafias fighting over control of that plum, the breadbasket and the gas basket, where they bring most of the gas to Europe out of Gazprom. The problem is it's Russia's back door. Crimea used to be part of Russia, and the West started this. So it's kind of like Stalin was bad, but Hitler attacked Russia. So he's known as the bad guy. But Putin is no Stalin. He's certainly becoming crazed and expelling Western executives who he believes are operatives for things like jaywalking and speeding, any excuse they've got. Because, I mean, quite frankly, they know they're operatives, a lot of them. That's in Bloomberg. Look at this. I now get Amber Alerts on the company phone. I have two company reporter phones in here. This is the New World Order. We get Obama alerts on these as well, where the state's going to be taking over TV, radio, you name it, even with video feeds of El Presidente. Even when the audio was turned off on these, it overrode it. That's all the back doors and everything, folks. Great example right there. I've got two reporter phones right here that I've been reviewing footage of. Some of the footage Jakari shot at the Super Bowl, stuff like that. Where was I? Going back, you know, there are alerts going off in there. I mean, this is just total government control. And at first, it's Amber Alerts about floods or missing kids. And then it's report illegal guns or report this alleged terrorist, Alex Jones, who's on the run. Your alert went off as well in there? Yeah, there you go. It's Temple, Texas Amber Alert. That's 90 miles away. A 2007 maroon Mazda 6 sedan. Here, come get your phone. Thanks. And then coming out, they're going to have all the license plates federally controlled that are going to be digital, little TVs. And you'll pay for that with your taxes, and then it's going to be giving you constant brainwashing messages, constant tattletale messages. I mean, this is a hellish system that's being built. Because we're letting technocrats use our money, use our ingenuity, use our taxes to build a hellish nightmare. That's why the sky's the limit, because they're just totally going for broke. The public is just now figuring out that everything is being totally criminally surveilled to socially engineer society and to give select inside corporate data to the insiders to be able to corner every market. And Snowden has now come out with that. You know, you heard it here 16, 17 years ago, and, you know, now the documents have been released. Of course they're using spy data to corner markets. Of course they're using spy data on the Senate and the House. Of course different intelligence agencies are spying on each other. Of course they're using it to steal patents and technologies and give them to select corporations. Of course it's used to wreck the free market, and that's why it's a crime to spy on someone illegally. You got to have a warrant with an oath or affirmation, and the person, place, papers, and effects to be seized, and the oath or affirmation of why that's happening. I saw dead bodies in a trunk in John Doe's basement when I was there fixing the pipes on April 14th. And I have sworn this, and I can be confronted in court They got rid of the right of facing your accuser with confidential informants, folks, who go around lying and setting people up, professional liars, professional snitches, who will say anything the system wants. You notice the media and the system always demonizes defense lawyers. It's really the defense lawyers that are holding back the total onslaught of evil takeover. I mean, these prosecutors in many areas and the federal prosecutors are absolute flaming crooks. Do they go after the trillions being laundered through the big banks every decade? Do they go after the white slavery grids? Do they go after any of the real stuff, DynCorp? The answer is no. But if you are selling marijuana out of your house, they're going to SWAT team raid you, kill your dog. The SWAT team's going to beat you up and say, shouldn't be a doper. Man, I was on this website. I sent it to Watson. I forget the name the other night, watching SWAT team raid videos that they shot. And like half the time they come in the house, the people are all asleep, don't resist. A fat basset hound runs out and they shoot it and it's squealing. You know, and they've got night vision cameras and it's blood's everywhere. And then they beat up the dad and everything. And they go, look, and it's like a half pound of marijuana. Look at this, you doper, you're going to jail. I mean, it's just what a joke. While the government brings in the hard narcotics on record. And then they push psychotropics and amphetamines and Adderall on the kids and then GMO and add deadly chemicals to the water. Over 200-plus chemicals on average are added to the water in the so-called fluoride mix. Lead, mercury, arsenic, Grignard reagents, heavy metals of every smattering, total brain damage, massive cancer, total psycho takeover. Tens of thousands of declassified government projects, some cases thousands of people killed per project, radiating foster children, injecting AIDS in foster children, Bayer injecting people with HIV. I mean, just on and on. Just mass murder, forced sterilization, ongoing currently. Just total psycho evil. And now they want to start war with Russia. And it's just funny that, you know, Napoleon finally was taking over everything, so he attacked the Russians. Hitler did the same thing, and now the New World Order is going to do it. It just never ends. Absolutely never ends, ladies and gentlemen. Never ends. And if you go out and try to talk to the average person about it, they just go, what are you for Putin? I say nuke him. Well, the only problem is it's not like Iraqis or somebody that don't have anything to fight back with. And yeah, the United States, run by the globalists, probably has double the nukes that are deliverable in reality and a lot of high-tech weapons, but it's not going to matter. A lot of those Russian nukes are going to make it here, and the cruise missiles are going to make it, and they're going to nuke Western Europe. And, you know, where's that going to be for all you trendies? I mean, that's going to kind of mess up your plan to make all the little boys wear dresses, isn't it? I mean, you people are out of control. Napoleon Bonaparte was a lot smarter than you are. Adolf Hitler was smarter than you are. And look what happened to them. I mean, you just really need to back off right now and not start World War III. I mean, John Kerry looks like, I was on a Knoxville, one of our affiliates in the talk show. I was talking to those guys on as guests sometime. They made the point that he looks like the Eastern Island statues, Kerry. I've always described him like Lurch or something from the Adams family. There's so much Botox, but why get into what he personally looks like? He's a skull and bones occultist who thinks he's invincible on a power trip, and he publicly tried to launch a war with Al-Qaeda, with the U.S. as its air force. The military said no 5-6 months ago, and that was all about a proxy war with Russia. And now they are launching a big attack in Ukraine. And again, it doesn't mean the Russians are perfect, doesn't mean they're good. The West is starting this, folks. It's dangerous. It's bad. It's not good. And I know that's a simple way of putting it. I mean, it's outrageously dangerous. It's over-the-top insane. There are no words to describe how bad this is. And we're just so used to being comfortable. We are so accustomed to just getting away with everything, and everything's comfortable and everything's nice, because we've been living off the liberty and freedom and due process that our ancestors fought for. But the bank's empty now. And the chickens are coming home to roost. And you know, I got articles here where Zuckerberg phones Obama to blast him about NSA. We have the New York Post PR pieces. The Facebook is the NSA on record. So that's PR. And George Soros comes out and says, we better not have sanctions on Russia. We better de-escalate this, because he doesn't want his name on this big war that's about to start while he's in the middle of it. Because he realizes that once he starts a war flat out, which he's doing with Russia, that, you know, your name's on this, boy. Your name's on this. You think you're going to get away with this? Well, you try to shut down the First Amendment, Second Amendment here. You think you're going to just, you're not going to get away with this, Soros. In French news agency saying this, here it is. It's very important to respond and respond the right way, which is not necessarily to impose sanctions on Russia, but to actually help Ukraine financially. That means come in and loot them. And also technical assistance, something like European Marshall Plan for Ukraine. Yeah, OECD. That would be the right response. So he's like, let's be friendly to Russia. Yeah, let's come in, build them up militarily, financially loot them. Don't run, we are your friends, Russia. And then they just spin all that. Of course, you know Soros has got access to Site R there in Maryland. But you don't have access to Site R or to Cheyenne Mountain or to any of the other deep cover bases. Those are a few of the public ones. All right, we're going to come back, tell you about some of the guests that are coming up, get into the big news. We are being conquered by an ideology of tyranny. That is the spirit of our enemy, that throughout history in every culture and every race has preyed upon the public. It is a mutated form of culture, a predatory system where the establishment set themselves up like the Morlock and we the Eloy of H.G. Wells' Time Machine, which is an allegory in his own words of how the world system actually works. He was a top Fabian socialist and bioethicist eugenicist. Now, continuing, ladies and gentlemen, or simply put, an adherent of this system that governs our world and is trying to eradicate normal human activity in a revolution against humanity, a final revolution in their own way, in their own words. Here are some of the headlines up on Infowars.com. United Nations attacks Second Amendment. New Iraq law legalizes rape. Feminists too busy banning words here in the United States to care. They never criticize any radical Islamicist. They only criticize men having muscles or being strong, or fathers being manly, or calling anybody bossy. UN tells us to eat bugs while elite live as kings. Very important special report that just posted on Infowars.com. Another report we're going to be playing here that's amazing. Shop by Southwest Trendies want to ban cars. I sent Kit Daniels, one of our great reporters, out to ask, hey, if people want to ban guns when somebody kills a bunch of folks with guns, people use cars just as much for mass murder. In fact, there's more people that use cars every year to run over folks. It's over 200. It's 160-something that die in mass shootings every year, most of them gang-related. So should we ban cars? And I thought they would go, no, no, don't blame the inanimate object, blame the driver. But a bunch of them said, no, ban cars. So England is moving to make you get a license to have a butcher knife, because they have stabbings are up tenfold the last 15 years since they banned guns. You can look that up in the BBC. They're very proud of it. With a straight face, they say, ban butcher knives, unless you're a registered chef, because they are a deadly weapon. It is the butcher knife's fault. So there you go. Ban the cars, ladies and gentlemen. They certainly live in la-la land, don't they? And we're also going to get into a bunch of really important news. But, you know, I mentioned this, and I'm just going to finish up with this now and then get into all the other news. John Kerry, on the heels of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Dempsey, saying they're prepared for military action anytime they're ordered to do so. The Ukrainian government is massing their 1 million-man reserve army near the Crimean border. The Russians are massing hundreds of thousands of troops and weapon systems, armored vehicles, helicopters, you name it, I guess, to repel that attack. Russia has until Monday to reserve and reverse course on Ukraine, Kerry says. Don't forget that in 2008, on the start of the Olympics, when they thought Russia wouldn't respond, they launched attacks in South Ossetia and Abkhazia, both similar to Crimea, being zones along the Russian border. And they actually attacked Russian military bases and killed the people in the barracks. And then started putting NATO troops on the ground. Russia rolled medium-range mobile nukes in that can't be easily targeted by cruise missiles because they move every 10 minutes. And then retarget, move 10 minutes, retarget, move 10 minutes, retarget, move 10 minutes, retarget. You know, the big missile trucks. And they were targeting Western Europe, by the way, NATO bases. And the West backed off. But they're doing it again. Just to see, you know, just poke the grizzly bear, just see what it does. And now they've got a cattle prod out poking the grizzly bear. But don't worry. Here at home, the Big Red One is domestically training to take on gun owners publicly in the Army's public manuals. It's total high treason. It's had the byproduct effect, the blowback effect, that the military's totally waking up because they are being trained to take our guns. And they're freaking out because they're good patriots on average. The most patriotic, most awake people are U.S. military. Active duty and non-commissioned officers are on fire for the Republic. Upwards of 90% are now awake. It was 80% 6 months ago. I'm getting chills right now. I don't know what the New World Order thinks they're going to pull, but they're going to fall on their face. The problem is it may turn the surface of the earth into molten slag, so it won't matter. But the military is freaking out, folks, because they're training to take on the Tea Party. And that's not just Infowars.com that broke that and Drudge that amplified it. It's in Forbes. It's in the Washington Times. It's in the Army Times. It's in Stars and Stripes. But in Stars and Stripes, they try to report it just real calmly. Like, well, we don't like training, the colonel says, to pull triggers on Americans, but that's the new mission. You know what they did in Army Times when that first was published 4 years ago? They went and pulled the colonel's quote, but we have the page saved. Yes, they're training for treason. And, you know, all the commie czars that run things think it's cool, but the military is waking up. By the way, the Russian stance is preparation for war. They're not going to back down.
You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It's real simple. The establishment serves tyranny. That's their god. Well, we serve liberty, and you know who the father of liberty is. Where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Crank it up.
Axe grinder, aisle driver. Mama says that I never, never mind her.
The globalists are taking our republic, our energy, our name, and throwing us like a battering ram, exploiting us to take down other sovereign nations. It's time to bring down the globalists. It's time to reduce their power. It's time to throw ourselves against them. It's time to bring them down. It's time to identify the real enemies of humanity. If you found us, if you've come across us on the dial, whether you're listening on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave satellite, AM and FM stations across the nation, you have found the tip of the spear. We wear our bias on our sleeve. We want freedom. We want justice. We want transparency. We don't want to be slaves. We want to be free. It's all about free will. So join the pack. Feel the crack. Oh, now you feel it. There's no turning back. 1776 worldwide. 1775 worldwide. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us. Here's the bottom line. The Russians are expelling Western executives who are obviously part of InfraGuard and are FBI operatives. FBI has a giant foreign intelligence service they'd rather folks not know about. And then the CIA is not supposed to operate domestically, but of course they do. And they're all just running around power grabbing over there. And the Russians are kicking them all out. The Russians are massing troops. And the Russians are probably going to end up taking half of Ukraine. Now, there could be a deep double cross where they've made a deal with Obama to divide the country in half and act like there's a war going on. That's very immoral. And that may be the saber rattling that's going on. But you wouldn't see all of these sanctions and the type of nastiness going on if that was the case. So I think that's in the cards, that if the West can't get what they want, they may go with that. Or they may be trying to tell Putin to do that, but he thinks it's a setup. I think it's very fluid, because what they do is, Kissinger, I've read a lot of his books, they create the chaos and then try to gauge, like pool, they break the balls on the first go, and then kind of look at the angles. And so they've kind of queued the balls up, you know, racked them, broken the rack, and now they're looking at how they want to cut this diamond, basically. And both sides are doing that. And the problem is, the Russians may be corrupt, medieval in ways, but they're smart. And so they've already thought of every angle, just like the globalists have. And that's why it doesn't work out, because the Russians will fight, folks. I mean, again, if the globalists can't beat the Afghanis, they can't hold Baghdad because the Iraqis are willing to fight. And, of course, the globalists don't care, because they just want to be there and make money off the no-bid contracts. The only reason the globalists can win an unwinnable war is because they don't want to win a war. They want a bunch of chaos, see? So they really have won the drug war. More drugs on the streets, more people in prison, more money being laundered. It's not a failure, it's a success. They've won the war on illiteracy, dumbing people down. They've won the war in Afghanistan. They won the war in Iraq, destabilizing the country, turning the western side of it over to Al-Qaeda, putting burqas on the women, kicking them out of college, getting rid of, you know, Western music on the radio. You understand that the globalists want Stone Age chaos everywhere, but in their reservations, their command bases.
Burmese fighting fish, fascinating creatures. Brave, but on the whole, stupid. Yes, they're stupid. Except for the occasional one such as we have here, who lets the other two fight. While he waits. Waits until the survivor is so exhausted that he cannot defend himself. And then, like Spectre, he strikes.
I find the parallel amusing.
Our organization did not arrange for you to come over from the Russians just for amusement, number three. Come in, Kronstein. Sit down, number three, while we listen to what number five has devised for us.
I hope Cranston's efforts as director of planning will continue to be as successful as his chair.
This is literally George Soros. Literally.
According to your instructions, I've planned for Spectre to steal from the Russians their new lector decoding machine.
15 top Nazi agents.
We need the services of a female member of the Russian cryptograph section in Turkey and their help.
That's who we're up against,
folks. British Secret Service. Naturally, neither the Russians nor the British will be aware that they are now working for us.
Number three, is your section ready to carry out Kronstein's directives?
Yes, number one. The operation will be organized according to Kronstein's plan. I have selected a suitable girl from the Russian consulate in Istanbul. She's capable, cooperative, and her loyalty to the state is beyond question.
And you're absolutely sure she believes you're still head of operations for Soviet intelligence?
It is most unlikely she would know I'm now working for Spectre. Moscow has kept my defection secret from everyone but a few members of the Presidium.
For your sake, I hope so. Kronstein, you are sure this plan is foolproof?
Yes, it is. Because I have anticipated every possible variation of countermove.
But what makes you think that M, the head of British intelligence, will oblige you by falling in with your plan?
For the simple reason that this is so obviously a trap. My reading of the British mentality is that they always treat a trap as a challenge. And in any case, they couldn't possibly pass up even the slightest chance of getting their hands on the lector decoder. They have wanted one for years.
Mm-hmm. All that you say could be true. What else?
As an added refinement, I think that Spectre will probably have the chance of a personal revenge for the killing of our operative, Dr. No. Because the man the British will almost certainly use on a mission of this sort would be their agent, James Bond.
Let his death be a particularly unpleasant and humiliating one.
Good. I shall put my plan into operation straight away. And there will be no failure.
And that's exactly what's going on. Literally, the globalists playing the Russians and the United States off against each other. And there's a big fight in Afghanistan over the $500 billion a year in opium. It was only 50-something billion a year before the liberation. Now it's up to $500 billion. Look those numbers up. 93% of world opium production turned into loving heroin for your daughter's veins. Loaded on C-130s and flown into Europe and the United States. Publicly. And then the police pull you over and want to ask if you have any drugs in the vehicle as you're driving your children to school, where they'll be propagandized every week about all the different serotonin reuptake inhibitors and amphetamine drugs they need to take. The government cares about everyone. It's run by good people who want to help us. No, the government's run by the Bilderberg Group. The government's run by George Soros. Literally run by Spectre. By the way, you know Spectre is basically real. You know Ian Fleming was in MI6, OSS, and wrote all those books. And he was a spy chief. You know they're just flaunting it all in your face when you go see movies like the latest Bourne Supremacy film. That's actually real, that viral research. That's on record real. That's 20 years old real. They just flaunt it all in your face. It's all public. They're geoengineering the atmosphere. They admit they're doing it, but the details are classified. It's a giant, got to be a $100 billion program a year. What we know about is $5 billion Department of Energy. I mean, who knows what these nutcases are up to? All I know is it's going on. We better find out exactly what's happening. And we don't have time to sit here and debate this anymore. And they've got a plan during a foreign war to get us all lined up behind the executive to stage attacks and say domestic groups in the Tea Party have joined with foreign powers and they think the military is dumb enough to actually go up against the gun owners in a civil war while the communist czars and New World Order minions working for the banks sit in their armored fortresses and watch us kill each other. And you know what? We may be dumb enough to do it. I don't know. I mean, it's just so frustrating to know how it all works, to understand basically every angle of it, and just sit here and watch it happen. The good news is the Pentagon, what was it, already 5-6 months ago, said no about the Syria escalation and the open public arming of al-Qaeda because the military knows about Benghazi now. They were all watching it on drone feeds, and hundreds saw it, folks. Thousands were told about it. And people don't care anymore in the military. They're not scared of getting arrested or disappeared. They picked Bradley Manning to blame because they knew they could talk about him being a transgender and discredit anybody that was a whistleblower to scare everyone in the military from leaking information. But you can't stop the enlisted and non-commissioned officers when they're being given manuals demonizing the Tea Party and gun owners and veterans who are their daddy and their mommy at home. It's over. You traitors have been identified. You think we were just going to sit here, the Patriot Movement, while you built this tyranny over the last 50 years? We've been holding you back. We've been exposing you. We've been laying your program out. People warned me and I activated as an organic Texan against the enemy, and others are activating. We don't need to be part of an organization, a group, or have any formal training. We got guts. We got resistance. We've been trained in the streets fighting you. 19 years on the air up against the enemy, and now I'm not a learner. I'm a master. But becoming a master, I know how little I do know. But compared to the general public, oh, it's unbelievable. Compared to the average, even commissioned officer, they don't understand what's happening. They've got pieces. They're smart, but they don't have it decompartmentalized. And the magic of this broadcast and the importance of this transmission is we are decompartmentalizing in front of everyone the entire system. The enemy's been very sloppy because all their pieces are right there. And they even have master documents that Brzezinski and others have written describing how the pieces go together so that they can communicate with high-level State Department and CIA, Defense Intelligence, and DARPA groups. Because even their top people that have gone to MIT and Harvard bought the lower-level brainwashing of the system and still believe the system's good and don't understand three- and fourth-dimensional warfare and don't understand full-spectrum globalist dominance and a war against humanity and the eugenics program. So they have to be given books that were secret, like Tragedy and Hope, that the plates leaked. And they quickly tried to stop the publication later, but they didn't. And we've got folks that republished it, and we sell it at InfoWarsStore.com. 1,100 pages detailing their entire plan. And it gets worse than that. Hey, guys, do me a favor and get me a pair of pliers. It's not a big deal, but the earpiece just came off in my ear. I knew it was feeling weird this morning. It was halfway on there, and it's about to slip completely into my ear, and I just want to get it out right now. You can go ahead and do it on camera. This will be interesting for all the viewers. Just bring me pliers, small needle-nose pliers, and I don't have a lot of time to go. I'm not mad or anything. It's not your fault. I just feel it slipping deeper in my ear right now. I want to stick the pliers in my ear and get it out right now. And that's why I want those fancy earpieces that are contiguous, not with these ends. I've been wanting those for a couple of years. I think we even have them in the boxes in there. In fact, after today, I'm not going to have this earpiece anymore. That's a directive. If I come in here tomorrow, and I'm just saying this now because I can't live like this, I may have to go off air then if you guys can't give me needle nose. It's not a big deal. It's just that, you know, I got the earpiece in my ear. And I need needle nose right now. Okay? Anyways, long story short, folks, this is a serious situation that we're dealing with. And we have to admit that the globalists are doing this. We have to look at their programs. Look at their plans, and we have to stop being so naive about all this. It's not really needle nose, but try to get this out here. I'm going to do this myself. Can one of you come in here and stick these in my ear and get the damn thing out? I mean, you know, it's not a big deal. Listen, I can't have these earpieces anymore.
Ares Armor, a California gun parts manufacturer, has filed a temporary restraining order against the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives for fears the federal agency could soon bust down its doors.
What the ATF has determined time and time again is that there is five operations on the AR-15 receivers that need to be left undone, that still need to be milled by the customer in order for it to be considered not to be a firearm.
Here's the problem. A manufacturer has made one in plastic with different material and colors.
This is plastic, this is metal.
Which show the person building it exactly where to drill.
Ares Armor says the ATF is threatening to shut them down if they don't hand over some 5,000 names of people, customers.
Show that to everyone who says registration doesn't lead to confiscation. The ATF demanding customer records of a product they don't approve of. We already see magazines being banned in parts of California and Connecticut, and guns banned in New York based on cosmetic features. And on the other side of the ranch, the ATF ran guns into Mexico under Operation Fast and Furious, a fact that the Attorney General Eric Holder perjured himself about.
Attorney General Eric Holder was sent briefings on the controversial Fast and Furious operation as far back as July 2010. That directly contradicts his statement to Congress. Listen to what Holder told a Judiciary Committee hearing on May 3rd this year.
I'm not sure the exact date, but I probably heard about Fast and Furious for the first time over the last few weeks.
Yet internal Justice Department documents show that at least 10 months before that hearing, Holder began receiving frequent memos discussing Fast and Furious.
You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
Your torches of wisdom. So we have even right there.
What's his name?
We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're here in the Red River District of downtown Austin, Texas, where last night a suspected drunk driver crashed through a barricade, killing two people and injuring 23 others. Now we're going to ask some of the locals, as well as the out-of-towners, if we should consider banning cars, just like how gun control advocates are always demanding that we ban guns after a shooting. So did you hear about what happened last night with the...
I just heard right now.
Really? So what do you think about it?
Drunk people suck.
I think those kinds of things happen when you have a bunch of drunk people all together in one place.
I hate to say it, it's almost like terroristic, like what happened last night is bad. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess there was an accident.
I think that people are idiots.
Considering that the driver drove a car and killed people using a car, do you think we should have a ban on cars?
Probably. I think so.
Ban cars, for sure.
Absolutely. We should just ban everything.
Ban everything. Ban pencils, ban knives. Hell, ban walking on the street because, hey, you can trip and fall and kill yourself.
I mean, people are always saying we should ban guns after a shooting event, so maybe we should just ban cars too, right?
No. But I don't think we should have so many guns.
There should be, I mean, there are weapons in the right hands. I mean, just like a plane can be used as a weapon.
I do believe it's important to keep laws progressing towards reducing firearms and reducing cars and the use of cars.
I mean, we should just stay in our bedrooms with mattresses strapped to us.
Put a straitjacket on you. And
yeah, maybe I could put pillows over my head.
They're not really comparable, though. I mean, you ban cars, people can't get around. You ban guns, people can't, I don't know, be stupid and shoot each other.
I think guns they're made to kill. Like, you don't get a gun thinking, oh, I'm just going to, like, you know, play this. Guns are made to kill things and kill people, and I think it should be harder for people to get guns.
Well, I have a lot of guns myself, but they never killed anybody.
I mean, I'm not saying that I think you're crazy, but I think it should definitely be harder for people to obtain things that are made to kill people.
I know it was, like, a certain right that we were given in the beginning, but, I mean, at the end of the day, facts are facts. The Constitution is, what, 200 going on 300 years old? So, I mean, it was a whole different situation than now.
Do you know that the reason the founding fathers wrote the Second Amendment was based on ancient philosophers such as Cicero, Livy, and even Machiavelli, who was known for giving advice to tyrants, that they all wanted an armed population to defend against tyrants and not so much for hunting? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, now you know.
If we're using the guns to, like, fight against tyrants, that would make more sense. But seeing as we live in America, I don't really feel like that's necessary anymore. Because
you don't?
I don't, actually, you know. Because we don't really need guns, I guess. If people are just going to get hurt. It's like, what's the point?
I do realize that majority of the murders that happen around the world have been committed by governments, which has been termed democide. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't believe in violence.
Yeah, we should ban pizza.
Hey, pizza? Yeah, I'm fat, whatever. That's my choice. Personal choice.
So you're saying that you're responsible and not the pizza, correct?
Yeah, it's life choices.
So you'd say that the driver was responsible and not the car, right?
Hey, it's an instrument.
So you would say the shooter is responsible, not the gun, correct?
Yeah, I would.
So you believe in personal responsibility?
Yeah, I do.
Now, in the filming of this report, I had to stay out of the way of multiple cars. I almost got hit by a golf cart at one point. Yet, we do not see Michael Bloomberg spending millions of dollars to fund an anti-car movement. This is Kit Daniels reporting for Infowars.com.
So, folks, there is the report with Kit Daniels, and I think it basically says it all. That now we need to ban cars because it's the fault of the car that ran over a bunch of people and dozens got injured and several died. It's not the fault of the driver. And that is the new system where we're all guilty for what other people do. And inanimate objects are guilty as well.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
have a real sense of urgency. Alex Jones here, if you just joined us. And that's why I want to get everything done now. I want to get out of the procrastination phase I've been in on every front. I want to just really aggressively attack the globalists. And that's why I've been a lot more serious on air a lot of days and you know, quite frankly, angry. Because the establishment is trying to start World War III right now with the Russians. And it's not America versus the Russians. It's the globalists playing us all off against each other. There's globalist operations in Russia. There's globalist operations here. They are the private central bankers that control the society because they control the issuance of currency and credit. And they've been able to buy off most governments because they've had that unfair trade advantage. To call it an unfair trade advantage doesn't even give it justice. It is a group of elites that are allowed to have money machines, basically. And so, of course, they're competing against real industry, real jobs. So they want to bring in regulations they're exempt from that make all other human activity restricted and controlled by them to make their fiat money absolute king. Because there's other forms of money. There's barter, there's ideas, there's culture, there's art. There's so many things that they don't control. So it's not enough to just have the money machine so they can buy it up. They want to control it on every front. And that's what they're doing. That's what's happening. That's what's unfolding. Now, coming up in the next segment, we're going to get into some amazing Second Amendment developments. ATF has raided a receiver manufacturer. This has happened many times before. It's been proven in court to be a fraud. They went out and got an injunction against the ATF. We've also got a bunch of other reports here that we need to be breaking down, dealing with the fact that there has been a landmark settlement reached in a case dealing with the police arresting folks in Baltimore that videotaped the police. This is a landmark case. We're going to be breaking it down. Big news on the front of Obamacare. Cash prizes for signing up for Obamacare, music money used to reach young people in final enrollment push. Yeah, sell your birthright for a bowl of porridge. It's so trendy, you'll be trendy, you'll be cool if you're just part of all of this. So that is coming up as well today. We are also going to recap the huge developments with John Kerry and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying, they basically have prepared sanctions, military actions. Nothing's off the table against the Russians. It is unprecedented, threatening Russia on its border, just so huge that it's got me absolutely on the edge of my seat. And everybody really should be white knuckles right now and really trying to get right with God now that this situation is unfolding. But Americans are so accustomed to having freedom and having security. And Europeans are as well. They have no idea how much danger we're in on average. It's just like when folks will arrive on some island that has deer on it that have never seen humans, and they'll walk right up to you and they're fearless because they don't understand the danger. They're ignorant, like dodo birds were on an island, and after a few years, they were all extinct because the sailors would just walk up, conk them on the head, and roast them. That's why he calls somebody who's really dumb and clueless a dodo. And if Americans don't wake up, I mean, I believe the new flag of the United States should be a dodo bird. A dodo bird on one side, and then on the other side, an ostrich with its head stuck in the ground. Not an eagle. Or maybe just a turkey that's been roasted or cooked in the oven on a silver platter with a goblin about to eat it. Because, I mean, that's what we've become. Just absolute food to the New World Order. I look at how helpless the average person is out there. They don't even know what planet they're on, folks. And the globalists are just going to absolutely run over everybody. And they've mistaken the Russians for us.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Now we see the earth. We've got it. Now we see the earth. Now we've got it.
We are broadcasting worldwide, and coming up at the start of the next segment for the balance of the hour, we have a retired state police officer joining us who is a private investigator and has been looking into the Sandy Hook situation. He's been threatened. He's been censored. They have been covering up what really happened there. We're going to talk to that gentleman, Wolfgang Halbig, coming up in the next segment. C.L. Bryant is going to be joining us. He is the star, you could say, of Runaway Slave, an excellent film exposing the Democratic Party and their history of the Ku Klux Klan and their plan to domesticate blacks. It's just a fact. The Republicans are not perfect either and kind of flip places with the Democrats to a certain extent. But, I mean, the Democrats are the party of race pimping and racial division and race hustling. So that's going to be coming up with C.L. Bryant, who was the head of the NAACP in Garland, which is a major city in the suburbs of Dallas, where I actually was part of my stomping grounds growing up. So he's going to be joining us. Pretty dynamic fellow. I look forward to that interview. Quite frankly, I almost canceled both these guests just because of the Russia situation. It's got me really on edge. I mean, I am very upset about what's going on. And I know my crew is as well. I have a really great crew. Our reporters, the folks that work here, the board ops, the directors, everybody. It's a very stressful job because we're in the middle of reality here. And if people notice that I've been a lot more serious and angry lately on air, it's because this Russia situation deep down has got me really upset. You got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Dempsey, got the Secretary of State, Kerry, saying all options are on the table, including military, and they're prepared for military action against Russia. They didn't even talk like this during the Cold War. So I hope everybody understands this is dangerous. And here are the headlines. John Kerry, Russia has until Monday to reverse course on Ukraine. And it's got all the quotes. That's up on DrudgeReport.com. Russian troops mass at border with Ukraine. Kremlin website hit by powerful cyber attack. Reuters, Bloomberg, Russia is preparing to invade East Ukraine, Estonia says. Jittery customers run on banks in Crimea. Vladimir Putin is stronger than President Obama in a new poll. That's just some of the headlines. And then here's the really important one. Putin deports executives for speeding and jaywalking as sanctions loom. They're basically kicking out Western executives who they believe are operatives. That's just some of the news on that front. Now, speaking of the guest that's coming up, this story has just gone viral at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Homeland Security conducts unannounced school lockdown drill. Notice they're suddenly at bus terminals, train stops, downtown Austin, always popping up unannounced on the local news. We never discover it till later. They only tell local establishment media what they're going to be doing. They don't tell us. The Department of Homeland Security is expanding its operations by running unconstitutional school lockdown drills, another sign of the federal agency's encroachment in more areas of Americans' lives. And it goes over what they're doing. And this is, again, to create the perception of mass shootings and fear and to turn the schools into prisons. That's how you mainline turning them into prisons, even though 100 and it's below 170 people. It's 163, 166, 167. You can look at the numbers from 2012, 2011. We don't have 2013 yet. And it's flat, basically. It's 160-plus shootings. Almost all of them are gang members shooting each other. But if three gang members shoot three gang members, it's called a mass shooting. Honeybees kill over 230 people a year. Wasps kill over 250 people a year. Spiders kill more than 500 people a year. Water moccasins kill more than 1,000 people a year. Rattlesnakes kill more than 300 people a year. You can pull these numbers up. We've done whole reports on them. We pioneered this years ago, and now it's been in Forbes, and issue of Esquire I was in had an article in this last year, admitting that terrorism is a total hoax, it's not dangerous, and it's total mental illness. And they just listed, you know, falling in your bathtub. You're eight times more likely to die from that. It varies year to year, if that's the number they had. Eight times more likely to die falling in your bathtub than being killed by a gun. And guns kill 12,000 people a year, most of them suicides and people shooting criminals. But the point is that more people killed by bees drowning in bath than from terrorism. There's the Steve Watson article that broke that down back in 2012. But, I mean, just go look at the statistics, folks. I mean, I know people who've had family members that died from honeybees. I mean, I bet you know people have died from bees. I bet you know people that have died from peanut allergies. That's online to be like 1,000 people a year dying from peanuts. Do you have TSA guys in blue uniforms at the restaurant to make sure, you know, you don't eat a peanut or get a peanut peel in your food in the back of the restaurant? This is all pure bull. And they have these drills in the schools where the, quote, homeschoolers against public school come and kill everybody, or supporters of the NRA come to, I mean, that's in the federal documents. That's in the Associated Press. Look it up. I'm not joking. Like, I'll have Watson added to his article just to be neurotic. Probably already in there. I haven't read the whole article. That they go in and say, we're here for guns and we're going to blow your brain out to like little kids and teachers. And teachers are suing. This was in the news last week. In Missouri, not wanting to be part, forced under law to be part of these drills, like fire drills. I mean, yeah, fire drills, folks. There's real fires. You have earthquake drills in California because there's earthquakes. You don't need to have mass shooting drills, folks. But you know what else it does? Copycats. They know, and I've used this a lot of times. I read this in some criminology book I read when I was like 18 years old, some big thick encyclopedia of criminology, I think was the name of it, I scanned through. And to talk about the copycat effect and use examples of Chicago and New York, anybody that's got a graduate degree in criminology will go, oh, yeah, I know about those cases. I'm just somebody that went and read the textbooks where they put glass up and barriers at the Empire State Building now in places. But every time one crazy would jump off every few months, they would immediately have to post cops there for 2 days because when it was in the news that somebody jumped off the Empire State Building, somebody else would go, you know what, I think I'm going to commit suicide. That's a good way. It's like a mass lemming effect. And they would then run up and jump off. It's the same thing. You start advertising, hey, don't commit suicide. Go commit suicide by cop. So you go out and pull a gun on a cop. They have to shoot you. That's a phenomenon. Or what do you do if you're on a bunch of Prozac type drugs? You play shoot 'em up video games all day and you're into devil worship and you know, your family's hooked into DARPA. You're going to be the cutout guy we blame for it. Oh, excuse me. I mean, you're Adam Lanza. Every one of them on drugs. And then what do? Well, you go into the school and you shoot a bunch of kids because that's what you do because the media taught you how. Every time they have suicide education. Even 2020 did a report on this. In 2001, 1 year after, they started anti-suicide and death education at Columbine. It was the pilot school. They had mass suicides at the school within the next 2 years. Some schools had more than 15 people commit suicide within 1 year of this being brought in because they taught you how to commit suicide. And, oh, the little girl went and committed suicide because she was down. And this is how you do it with shoelaces in the bathroom stalls. And then little girls go, highly impressionable. And, of course, they found this with Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, that sometimes women would be so touched by the love of Romeo and Juliet that they would go home and kill themselves after watching the play. It's a phenomenon, folks, of highly impressionable people that can be hypnotized via suspended disbelief. And that's what's going on here. They are teaching people to go to schools and murder children so they don't have to stage them. But they've been unable to get that going, so they, you know, have to give us Sandy Hook that was clearly staged. We don't know exactly what they did. But we know the official story is a fraud, and there was a drill, and there was people from anti-terrorism squads running around in the bushes that they tried to deny, but we confirmed, and that they're covering everything up. And we're going to be talking to an expert about that coming up, but the story is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Homeland Security conducts unannounced school lockdown drill. Federal occupation of America expands, and I've just been told it's linked in the middle lower column of DrudgeReport.com. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let's talk about the highly impressionable that make it a fad to want to kill yourself or a fad to be a slave or a chump. Obamacare is designed to enroll people in a healthcare system run by offshore banks at double or triple the prices, the death panels. You don't have your existing doctor, doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. Now you know it's a monumental screw job. The bill said it was. The IRS will garnish your wages. Penalty is in interest. They hired 17,000 agents 2 years ago to do it. It's now going to start. And, of course, it's all being announced. The only group they can get to do it is the chumps. And that is the trendies. And they're literally hiring people with shaved heads and beards. I'm not against shaved heads and beards. I think it's fine for men to have beards. It's manly. I just can't handle the, you know, I can grow a great beard. I can't. In fact, it's gray now. I'm going gray at my temples and like McAfee gray right here. But I'm not knocking you've got a beard. But they literally have men with beards and trendy going, trendy, trendy, I got it, for the young people. And they also want to get women to henpeck their kids into it. So they have all these ads where the big boss mom orders her husband and the kids to do it. We played those ads here. And women go, man, I'm the boss. I'm going to go do that. I mean, they could say, slit your throat. Women are in charge. And they would take a dagger and jab it in their throat and spew blood everywhere if they were told to. I'm not kidding. They would throw their children off cliffs. No, you tell little girls, go kill yourself, and they go do it. So cash prizes for signing up for Obamacare, Market Watch, music money used to reach young people, final enrollment push. Well, yeah, it's like crack dealers will give the first, they'll go out to 12-year-old girls as their favorite. They target women as well, and they'll give them the crack. And then, you know, soon they'll have them getting all their friends on the crack. And then they'll have those little girls at 14 all as prostitutes on the street. And then they'll pay the police their cut in cities where the police run the prostitution. That's just how it works. It's the same thing here. It's all just mafia tactics. They're going to pay you to sign up and waive your rights, and they're going to suck hundreds of thousands of dollars out of you in the next few decades. So enjoy it.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
We're the renegades of the atomic age. Wolfgang W. Halbig is our guest for the balance of the hour. I appreciate him coming on. He's been on the nightly news. He could not have a more extensive background, tailor-made to investigate what really happened in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, that was used and is being used to try to create a mass guilt to be projected on the American people and make us collective killers of the children that reportedly died there. They've bulldozed the site. They've declared national security and state security on all the details. I believe people died there from my research, but clearly the official story is not true, and there were people given scripts to put out official lines. And we now know that Bloomberg was activated days before saying prepare the social networks for a mass shooting. So we see a lot of preparation here. This could bring them down because I've never seen the American people reject something like this. Wolfgang W. Halbig, I'm not going to go over his whole bio, but he was, of course, a Florida state trooper in Miami, Florida, and a United States custom inspector. And, of course, after that, he was the executive director of the National Institute of School and Workplace Safety. Wolfgang Halbig has recently formed a new safety and security company, WK & Associates. Previously, he worked in public education as a teacher, dean, assistant principal, director of alternative school, and the director of school safety and security of the Seminole County Public Schools, huge area, a public school district of 65,000 students. And again, he was also before that law enforcement experiences as state trooper and then customs inspector. As a result of his unique background in both law enforcement and education, Mr. Halbig has been invited to provide presentations and keynotes to a variety of audiences. And I'm not going to go over all this, but he advises police across the country. He's very well respected, very well known. He's at the top of his field. This is a short segment, long segment coming up, but he's been threatened, and he's the guy in there. He's the, you know, the good cop you're looking for. The real guy, like in V for Vendetta, that is good and can't be intimidated. And believe me, he needs to be prayed for, folks, because I don't know exactly what went on. I just know as an investigator, a lay investigator, that the official story is not true, so we're being lied to. And so we only got about 3 minutes here, 18 minutes coming up, sir. But Wolfgang, thank you for coming on, Mr. Halbig. Just give us the basics of a preview of what you think's really going on here and the cover-up, and then break down what we know when we come back.
Well, I think Homeland Security and FEMA has probably pulled off one of the best illusions on all of the American people. I've never seen it. I bet you they had it in planning for over 3 years. And, you know, I just have 16 simple questions and hope that we talk about today. But, Alex, they won't respond. respond. They don't return phone calls. They don't respond to FOIA requests. And, you know, until they prove or answer those 16 questions, I don't think children died at Sandy Hook. And I hope we have that great discussion, you know, as we come back.
Well, I mean, it's starting to lean that direction. It's just the boldness of a total hoax. But we've got green screens. We've got people clearly being actors. We've got, I mean, this, man, I tell you, they really are sloppy. That's all I can say.
Well, somebody needs to win the Oscar because I tell you what, they have split families across this country. We have some family members believing it happened. We have the other half the family members believing, you know, it was a hoax. I mean, they have divided this country. And the one thing I've learned about government, being an American government teacher and history teacher, you divide this country and they conquer it. I think the government's trying to conquer this country. And that's not the America that I grew up in, Alex.
Well, undoubtedly, that is it. The globalists run the government and they are conquering it. And they admit they're involved in divide and conquer.
I tell you what, it's time for us as Americans to come together. And this is the greatest opportunity. Sandy Hook, if we can show that this thing was an illusion, the dominoes will fall, and a lot of people need to go to jail, Alex.
Now briefly, how have you been threatened?
Well, you know, it's ironic. For over 10 months, I mean, when Sandy Hook unfolded, I went into shock. I'm a national school safety consultant. I'm sitting there and watching television, breaking news. Children shot, teachers shot and killed. I mean, it took me a week to figure it out. I'm going, whoa. I'm a FEMA trainer. I teach incident command. I train people how we're supposed to respond. That's not what we're supposed to do. And then, you know, I kept asking questions for 10 months, Alex. I did not want to offend the parents. I didn't want to offend the police department in Newtown, Connecticut State Police. Next thing, a week before Christmas, I got two homicide investigators ringing my doorbell. I looked out my window, and I thought maybe they were selling termite inspection or something.
Stay there, sir. This is incredible. We'll go over your 16 points. Former state police officer, national safety expert. He says it's staged.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We have a nationally recognized school safety and security expert and consultant. He's provided safety training and school assessments for more than 8,000 school districts. He has been the head of one of the biggest school districts in the country's safety. And I'm not going to just go over all of his credits on Dateline NBC, Good Morning America, major universities he's consulted for. I mean, he's a top consultant, long career as a state police officer in Miami, Florida. If you're just joining us, then in customs, and then he got into being an educator and then security. And he's looking at it and dissecting it like everybody else did. I mean, folks, we've got video of Anderson Cooper with clear blue screen out there. He's not there in the town square. We've got people clearly coming up and laughing and then doing the fake crying. We've clearly got people where it's actors playing different parts of different people. The building bulldoze, covering up everything. Adam Lanza trying to get guns 5 times, we're told. The witnesses, you know, not saying it was him. People out in the woods. But we've got the investigator here, Wolfgang W. Albig. I'm going to give you the floor, sir. Go over your 16 points, the problems, the issues. Break down what you believe is a total hoax. I've looked at it, and undoubtedly there's a cover-up, there's actors, they're manipulating, they've been caught lying, and they were pre-planning before it and rolled out with it. So clearly I agree with you that something's rotten under the floorboards, but is it a possum or is it a human? Well, regardless, they're not letting a good crisis go to waste, but you're the expert. Break it down for us.
Today, you know, had those two homicide investigators not come to my house. And
that's right. We're talking about how you got threatened.
U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
And I can't believe they're telling me that if I don't stop asking questions about the Sandy Hook school shooting, that the Connecticut State Police were going to come down and charge me with felony harassment. Now, all I've done is use the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. And you know what? That's the first thing we learn as a citizen is you got to be able to ask questions. I taught that in school.
Wolfgang, I'm going to give you the floor. I promise. I want to walk back here because you got interrupted by the break. Start over because explain, you know, the date it happened, what went on. you know, and bad things are going to happen to you if you don't stop investigating this. I mean, why would they fear an investigation? Break down what happened.
Well, you know, they're just telling me not to ask questions. And, you know, the questions that we're going to talk about here are so simple. They do not hurt any of the parents. They do not hurt.
Sure. Describe what happened. Describe what they said to you.
Well, they came to me, and first of all, they did what you did. They went over, they had my whole background, my whole history of my life, where I went to high school, where I played football at Abilene Christian College. They knew me about being a state trooper, customs agent. They thanked me for my service to my country, and then they said, you need to stop asking questions, or they're going to come down from Connecticut, and they're going to arrest you. And I said, for what? For asking freedom of information requests? I mean, they need to go to jail for not responding. And then they told me I need to hire an attorney, you know. And I'm sitting there going, I said, well, you guys need to call them up and tell them I'm not going to stop asking questions. That's one of the things I believe in. And you know what? The question, the first one is, why, who would have directed the New Haven FBI field offices to classify the Sandy Hook school shooting? Alex, that's never heard of. Columbine, Virginia Tech, Jonesboro, Paducah, you name it. The FBI has never, ever classified a school shooting. Why would they do that? And then when I called the New Haven field offices, I wanted to make sure my information was correct. This lady, FBI agent, you know, I asked her, how do I get this information? She says, you're never going to see it in your lifetime. It's been classified, and the public will not see it. And I think everybody who's listening to your show today ought to pick up the phone, call their congressman, their U.S. senator, and demand, and I mean demand a copy of that report. Because we, as Americans, we have a right to know, especially when they're using children and teachers as a ploy to scare the living hell out of us, Alex. And the next question is really simple. You know, I want to know who the incident commander was. I mean, one of the things Homeland Security and FEMA has shoved down every school district, private and parochial, that when you have a mass casualty event, you have got to have an incident commander. And you know what? They won't tell me who was in charge on that day. Now, that tells me a serious problem, because that incident commander was in charge of requesting trauma helicopters. I'm 67 years old. I've never, ever seen a school shooting where we don't get the quickest and the fastest medical help, and there's nothing like the trauma helicopter. They got the best experience, best paramedics. They got the tools that they need. Why would you not order trauma helicopters for those children and for those teachers?
We have the videos of them, the same kids going in circles in and out of the building, unmistaken drill, and then they just tell them they were all shot? I mean, keep going.
Well, Alex, I mean, for anyone to understand what you and I today are talking about, I got your listeners need to pretend that they have a child in that school on December 14th, 2012. Please, listeners, pretend that you have a first grader, a little girl, little boy, your love of your life, and they don't order trauma helicopters knowing they may be seriously shot, clinging to life. And then, why would they not let the paramedics and the EMTs inside the school? Now, who made that decision? That is just unheard of. It's cruel. You need to provide medical attention.
So they overrode the default. They overrode the default settings. Wolfgang, you're saying just standard operating procedure was ignored, correct?
Oh, can you? Well, think about it. You're the incident commander. Once the school is deemed safe, you get all the medical help that you can inside the school. Because guess what? We don't know if they're dead or not. Then we find out that within 8 minutes of the first shot supposedly being fired, Alex, they're all declared dead. We have 18 children and 6 school staff members declared legally dead within 8 minutes. That's unheard of. And by Connecticut law, only a doctor can declare them legally dead. So who did that? They won't respond to my questions. So, you know, I keep doing this day in and day out. No phone calls, no response. And where did the 500 children go that day and the 60 teachers? There's not any helicopter video footages of 500 children being evacuated. How is that possible? Every school shooting that we're seeing lately, you got kids coming out of the school with their hands raised. The news media is all over it. And here we have Sandy Hook. And we can't even find 500 children. That's unheard of.
And then they had all the police going to the houses telling the so-called families and people not to talk to anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been doing this. I've traveled the country from one state to another. I've been in school shooting events. I've been there. I get hired as an expert witness after the fact. When I was an assistant principal, yeah, I've seen a student shot in our school. And you know what I learned, Alex? When you hear shots fired in your high school, those parents will come at you with every ounce of energy. They are ready to tear down the fence to get to their child. At Sandy Hook, as you said, guess what they're doing? They're going in circle. I didn't see any parents have any sense of urgency to go get their child. And then you read about this guy. There's a guy in the woods. He was supposed to come build gingerbread houses. He's running away from the school, knowing that shots are fired. If I was that father, Alex, I'd be running into the school, not away from the school. It just does not make sense. And then, you know, this is a simple request because I did this at Columbine. You know, Columbine, we had 14 students shot and killed, 23 seriously injured. We had a great teacher by the name of Dave Sanders that was shot and killed trying to save kids. And one thing that I learned about 3 days, 4 days later, I saw how they contracted a certified environmental company to come in to clean up all of the biohazards. Alex, there was blood in the media center everywhere, brain matter, skull fragments, the carpet were stained with blood. I mean, windows were shot out, broken out. The police department, you know, they fired over 354 rounds inside the school while kids were still in there. But what I got to see is how they clean up and sanitize and decontaminate. You know, nobody will tell me who did that at Sandy Hook. I mean, Sandy Hook had three crime areas, room 8, room 10, and room 9. Yep, they shot out the window. But nobody will tell me who the company is that the Newtown Public Schools contracted with to come in to sanitize and decontaminate. Why is that a secret? It's something that you should be doing by law.
Continuing with the 16 points.
And this is one of my... This is the one that gets my attention. Newtown Police has a lieutenant, and he's working an off-duty detail at a construction site less than 2 miles from the Sandy Hook Elementary School when they hear shots fired. Now, you would assume somebody who's in management, law enforcement management, would automatically break away from his duty and respond to the school. Alex, that man stays at his off-duty job for over 4 hours, and then he responds. But what people don't know, I read the police report, there was another female officer, female, and she left the duty site to go to the shooting. Now, why would he not go? I mean, there are just so many questions, and I think they're coming at me, not just one time, because they send another two police officers, you know, a couple of weeks later. They want me to stop asking these questions. Why? We're going to find out when we go up to Newtown. But why would a lieutenant not leave his duty? Another one is that, you know, the environmental. Newtown Public Schools, the Sandy Hook Elementary School, Alex, had the highest level of lead paint. They had the highest level of asbestos throughout the school. They had the highest level of PCP, groundwater, inside the school and around the school. And you know what? I've asked for the triannual asbestos inspections, which are required by a school district every 3 years by a certified outside contractor. They refuse to hand over those inspection reports. And the district is required by law, Connecticut law, to let the parents know each school year of any hazardous materials that reside within the school, because we don't want the children to have lifelong, you know, health issues.
And there's a total cover-up of that. And then they've bulldozed the school now. They will not release any of the photos, any of the transcripts. There's clearly a massive cover-up here. What do you make of the green screen with Anderson Cooper down there on the ground? What do you make of the obvious staged interviews? And and multiple actors playing the part of multiple people. I mean, this is undoubted something's going on. Your best guesstimation of this is what, a drill, which they told the world was a real shooting? I mean, that's an Operation Northwoods, a declassified plan by the Pentagon to commit mass shootings to blame the Soviets, but they never went ahead with it because Kennedy nixed the plan. So we know these ideas have been thought of before. We know this was their push to get the guns. I mean, we know that's the motive. We know they've staged other stuff, but I mean, I tell you, this is just so bold.
Well, it's really bold when you talk about Anderson Cooper, because when you look at the breaking news, here's Anderson Cooper using supposedly a live feed with seven Connecticut state troopers charging a school, and they made it pretend that it was Sandy Hook Elementary School. I mean, I actually thought these guys were storming in to try to neutralize the shooter. And then we find out it's not even the school. And they're using it to scare the living heck out of all
the people. Well, I mean, that's it. There's just fake video everywhere. Like I was watching this blue screen. Not only his nose disappears, but when they cut to a wider shot, you can see some garbage that's blowing, and then it blows back again because they didn't loop the tape right. I mean, they just think we're total morons. I mean, I just don't even know what to say.
Alex, I totally agree with you, and I've never seen all of the major news stations, all of the major news stations come out with so much misinformation. I want to know who gave him the script. Who told him that this mother of Adam Lanza worked there for 15 years? I mean, who made up these scripts for all of these newscasters? Because you know what? Not one of those national television stations are asking what you and I ask.
That's
those
right. That's right.
Simple questions.
I want to go over the rest of the 16, but really looking at why I question it, because it's just undoubted that they're making stuff up. I just don't know, again, what's being made up. But it's clearly they're lying. Clearly they have the motive. One of the biggest pieces of evidence is that Bloomberg had his social network folks ready 2 days before.
Oh, absolutely. They had the website. There were websites up for donations, contributions.
Very sick.
In memorandum. I mean, who does all that? I mean, I could see one or two being a mistake, but when you got multiple people going online looking for money before the shooting, we have serious problems.
That's right. You're right.
It's the truth.
And I want to add something totally key here. Anderson Cooper is in the CIA. It's on record. Was in the CIA. Comes from a major robber baron family. And it's been pointed out even in international news. He put out the fake Syrian murder videos. He put out a bunch of other fake hoaxes. And so he's the guy that runs the hoaxes at CNN. So, because obviously it's compartmentalized in those operations. So it's very fitting that he's quarterbacking the disinfo and that CNN put out the official talking points day one.
I hope at the end of the day that we find the truth about Sandy Hook. And I'm going to tell you what, Anderson Cooper, CNN, and every one of those major networks, boy, I'm going to tell you what, they need to apologize to the American people. Because, Alex, I'm telling you, I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I pray to God that I'm wrong. I mean, my wife is so mad at me for doing what I'm doing today. I mean, it's almost costing me a marriage. But I tell you what, if I am wrong, I'm willing to tear up my naturalization papers. Because I've embarrassed America, and all those people that believe in me right now, I wouldn't want to be an American if I lied to them or accusing America of fraud.
Well, it's not America, it's criminal elements. We're showing right now famous 1991 fake video that CNN admit was totally fake, where they claimed that they were being attacked in Saudi Arabia by Scud missiles, and they were in Atlanta on the roof. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time is the point.
But I believe that if we come together as Americans and we really focus on Sandy Hook and we find the truth, and the only way we're going to do that, Alex, we're going to go to Newtown. We're going to get people to raise their right hand. We're going to file class action lawsuits. And the government is not expecting us to do that. But until we get them to raise their right hand, nothing's ever going to happen. We're going to talk about it forever and ever. But we need to go. We need to hold them accountable. And people need to go to jail.
I agree. Let's go over the rest. We're coming back to break, but I want to get over your other 16 points and what your battle plan is. But I understand you see lies. You've got to tell the truth, even though it's hard. But in the beginning, a patriot's a scarce man. But in the end, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot, as Mark Twain said, to paraphrase. I mean, look, I don't want to come out. Look, the Boston bombing, we sent reporters. It was staged as well. No doubt. We had the FBI and Obama's people, the Secret Service, threaten our reporter. We proved that was a drill. I mean, they're running hoaxes, folks. And it is extremely dangerous. And I don't like having to do this either. I mean, look, these people got to be stopped. And if they'll stage Boston bombing in Sandy Hook, they will do anything. The good news is most people I've seen do not believe Sandy Hook. I think it really blew up in their face. Stay with us.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John, Big John, Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. Didn't say much, kind of quiet and shy. But if he spoke at all, he just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Big John.
This is almost suicidal radio, folks. I mean, we are like kamikazes here. The system is out of control. We believe everything we're saying. I can tell Wolfgang believes what he's saying, and the info he's got checks out with ours, and I can hear he's freaked out. You should be freaked out. I've interviewed the head of the canine unit from Oklahoma City, was the second cop to respond with Cop of the Year that drug out a bunch of people who they killed, Terrence Yakey in Oklahoma City. And FBI walked in, said, "You keep investigating this, you and your wife are dead." And I said on air, I said, "Name the names." And he turned white and gulped, and Don Browning, and he said the names on air. He was a Marine Corps combat vet, and folks, he started shaking a little bit because, you know, when the FBI comes in and says, "We'll kill you and your wife, boy," let me tell you, you learn what this government really is real quick. You stop being so naive. I'm not saying the whole FBI is bad. Most of them aren't. It's compartmentalized. They've used national security to set this up, and they staged Sandy Hook. I don't know how much of it. I don't know exactly what went on. I just know it's fake. And they've done it before, but this is bold. And they came after our guns. And Wolfgang, we got you for 5 more minutes. I want to invite you back for a full hour soon or more.
Hey, thanks a lot. Well, let me leave you with this one. And remember I said, parents, visualize that your child in there. I couldn't believe that within 3 hours of the first shots fired, with everybody responding, the incident commander is ordering porta-potties. I mean, think about this. They're ordering porta-potties for Sandy Hook Elementary School. It took me a week to figure it out. I called the porta-potty company, and I talked to the lady, and I said, "Who ordered it? When were they ordered?" Well, we're not allowed to give out that information. We're directed by the police not to respond to those questions.
And let me stop you. What about them bringing the kids back into the crime scene?
Oh, absolutely. Why would they ever do that? You know, and but the big thing, Alex, here with the porta potty, here, there's somebody at the command center that morning who's thinking about porta potties, but he's not ordering the trauma helicopters. He's not letting the paramedics in the
evening. No, it was a PR carnival.
And then they're ordering lunch. I mean, you can see the police vehicles. Who eats lunch when you have a mass casualty?
I would be vomiting and in the bathroom breaking down and crying.
Well, at least they got porta potties, so when they're eating their lunch during a massive killing, it just, you know what, it just angers me, and every American will get angry about this, and they need this.
By the way, I've seen car wrecks with dead people where I pulled over to help folks that wrecked, and I did vomit. I couldn't imagine having a 6-year-old daughter seeing a bunch of dead 5- and 6-year-olds. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be eating lunch.
Well, you know what, Alex, you and I are on the same page. It just, you know, America just needs to see it. It's not, don't listen to what my opinion is. What I'm saying today is what's in the police report. You have to read what they say. And think about the two children that were transported to Danbury Hospital. They died at Danbury Hospital. But you know what? Nobody asked. How did they get there?
Well, when we come back, we got 5 more minutes. Tell us about putting the kids back in the rooms after the supposed shooting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then bulldozing the whole building with armed guards around it. I mean, man, they are covering stuff up, folks. I mean, they are acting super suspicious. People like, I was a cop and I was driving down the street and some guy sees me and runs. That's probable cause. Why is he running? I mean, I'm telling you, folks, they're acting very suspicious.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wolfgang W. Halbig, you can hear it in his voice how freaked out he is. National school safety expert, formerly state police, U.S. Customs. He goes and investigates it. There's a cover-up at every front, and it never happens with the other shootings. I got to say, the Aurora thing was definitely a wind-up toy as well. That's all come out. And they're doing these black ops to get our guns. Sir, talk about your bottom line gut. Dead reckoning. Obviously, I agree with you. Something's going on. They're covering up. It's all staged. But what is staged? As best you can tell, what do you think really happened in your hypothesis at Sandy Hook?
I think it was just a planned, massive FEMA, Homeland Security. I think it was a major drill portrayed as one of the best illusions ever. And I think it was trying to create empathy across the country for making us feel bad that so many children were killed. And look what happened in Connecticut. It worked. They're taking the guns away from people in Connecticut who, guess what, they're just law-abiding citizens. And they're using Sandy Hook as a nexus. It's a beginning. And if they're doing it in Connecticut, which is the next state? What's the next state? All because of Sandy Hook.
That's right. And then there'll be another shooting. And, oh, how dare you, see, it's your fault. It's so obvious they're using it to disarm us. They admit it. And it's just a total hoax, any way you slice it. And so sloppily done. What about bringing the kids back into the so-called death dens?
Alex, at 9:45:31 on the police transmission, you can see a police officer, a lieutenant. He sees a little girl in the hallway at Sandy Hook Elementary School. He takes her and pushes her back into room 8. Well, if anybody reads the report, room 8 is the crime scene. There are dead bodies in there. 70 rounds have been fired in there. And this police officer shoves this little girl back into room 8 with dead bodies. Then you got two Connecticut state troopers. They go into room 10, and they see a little boy hiding in the bathroom. And they tell him, well, just stay there. We'll be back when it's safe. Well, room 10 is where the other bodies are.
How did they get the state police to play along with this? Tell them it's part of national security?
Well, I think it is, and I think there's a lot of money involved. You got Eric Holder showing up with a check for $3.8 million for overtime. I mean, that's unheard of. When I was a state trooper, when I had overtime, I got comp time. These people are being paid. I mean, we're going to find out. And the only way, Alex, the only way is we need your help. We got to be able to go to Newtown. We got to get people to raise the right hand. And I'm going to tell you what, somebody will break, and we're going to break the story. And ask people to go to www.sandyhookjustice.com. Listen, if it's $1.50, I don't care. But I'm not taking a penny. I want to break this thing.
Listen. We are, sir, I agree with you. Absolutely. We want to send, maybe even I'll go, we want to send reporters up there, Wolfgang, with you. And I understand how dangerous this is, so maybe my reporters don't want to go. They probably will want to go, but maybe it's a mission I should go on. There's just so much to run here, but this is historical. And
Alex, I'm 67 years old. I had a great life, but this country's been good to me. But I want you to be with me on the first day when we get somebody, and guess who was? It's going to be that incident commander. He's going to raise that right hand in the civil lawsuit. Alex, I want you in that room with me. I want you to look at his face by the time we get through with him. And they can't hide behind the fifth. You know that.
Sure. Well, you also know that normally in a mass shooting, everybody doesn't die. And then you don't have a bunch of wounded to parade around. But this time, very little, quote, wounded.
99% kill rate? There isn't an FBI agent that is that good.
Yeah, because a lot of times you shoot somebody in the head, it'll still deviate. Or the heart, it'll deviate. I mean, it's like hunting. You can shoot a deer right in the head sometimes. It doesn't kill them right away.
This is a child with autism, and if there's one thing we know about children with autism, they have very poor motor coordination and skills.
And they tend to get distracted off at each event.
Yep.
No, they just picked a mentally ill person to patsy out. All right, Wolfgang, we're going to have you back on. Give out that website one more time.
www.sandyhookjustice.com. Help us, and Alex, you'll be with us, please.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It came out 2 years ago. It was a big hit, waking people up, but I hadn't seen it till recently. In fact, I want to carry it at InfoWarsStore.com. C.L. Bryant, who's the main expert, and I guess you call star, of Runaway Slave, is going to be joining us for most of the hour. I've got some breaking news I'm going to be hitting as well. Again, I'm your host, Alex Jones. First off, though, remember this hour is brought to you by MyPatriotSupply.com. /Alex to find their specials. The best storable foods company out there. Great customer service, non-GMO, organic, great people. You can give them a call, 866. Again, the phone number's up on the side, 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com /Alex. Also, we've done 2 hours, 8 minutes of broadcast. I haven't really plugged anything. We're listener supported. We're not funded by George Soros. We're not funded by stimulus money like MSNBC or NPR with taxpayer money. We are funded by viewers out there that like Molon Labe Pro Second Amendment t-shirts, or folks that like my favorite coffee that I've found down in southern Mexico and we get right from the folks down there, grown in the high mountains and organic volcanic soil, the Wake of America blend coffee, the Great Survival Shield, the Nascent Iodine, the Fluoride Shield, the Super Mel Vitality, all the best supplements that we've developed with Dr. Group, the Pro Pure Gravity Fed Filters, 10% off promo code WATER, InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com, and all the great pro-Second Amendment, pro-Liberty, not even right-wing or left-wing, just pro-freedom, patriot apparel to help spread the message of liberty while you support the broadcast so we can have all these other great researchers and filmmakers on to try to promote what they're doing as freedom lovers who are unified by the content of our deeds and our hearts and minds, like Martin Luther King said, what we stand for, freedom and justice and opportunity and free market, the real renaissance. The Constitution, Bill of Rights were never properly realized, but they were the most revolutionary idea in history up to that point. When they say, oh, it's 230 years old, 240 years old. Yeah, but what we're going back to is old-fashioned tyranny, the state ruling everything. So what we have is cutting edge, and we are just beginning to try to realize it. And it made us the most wealthy country in world history. And C.L. Bryant is the son of a World War II veteran. Roots run deep in the Cane River area of Louisiana. He studied Western civilization, mortgage finance, and master's degree in theology. He's a Baptist minister, and for 35 years has traveled extensively in South America on missionary journeys. He's a former president of the NAACP in Garland, which is a major city of Dallas, the Texas chapter, and self-professed Democratic radical turned conservative. Now believes the values that he once vehemently upheld has led the black community into a state of bondage to the U.S. government. Well, there's no believe it. That's a fact. Not even really the U.S. government. It's the social engineer eugenicist, Margaret Sanger types. And he, of course, is the main star of the great film Runaway Slave, and he's also involved with a column in SB Magazine and a lot more, and he joins us. I really appreciate you coming on because, I've known the stuff that's in your film for basically ever because I've studied history, but when it really hits you, it's outrageous that the Democratic Party says if you don't want Obamacare, you're a racist, or if you don't turn your guns in, you're a racist, or the talking point, the NRA is the Klan when the NRA was founded to arm freed black slaves on record. I mean, it's so frustrating that it was Lincoln's party that supposedly ended slavery. It was really the Christian abolitionists, and I'm not even glorifying, you know, the South or the North. The point is, they have inverted history and then domesticated everybody, including white folks. Everybody's going on the plantation. The model they pioneered with blacks has now been deployed against everyone to devastating effect. And you break it down in your film. But just from your perspective, formerly heading up the NAACP in a major city, what is it like as you discovered all this? Because when I talk about it, MSNBC, the White House run groups go completely wild and say none of it's true because they're scared of it. What do you say, sir?
Thanks, first of all, Alan, for having me on, Alex. And I thank you, all of you, for listening. What happened with me as far as the switch, the change, the crossover was concerned? I came to the realization that not only did the organization, the NAACP, want to control the agenda, they wanted to control me and then use me to control a block of people. This is the modus operandi of an organization like them. And when I decided that I wanted to act as an individual on my core values, who I was, then I noticed that my star that was rising in the organization began to abruptly set. And that's when an awakening began to take place. And my journey now and my duty now for the last 19 years after that awakening is to make certain that others are awakened as well.
That's what it's all about. It's the awakening. I really woke up 19 years ago as well that I needed to get involved in the fight for liberty because I could see the tyranny growing. Break down the basics, because we have a lot of affiliates out there, folks that may have never heard about the Democrats, how they operate, what they've done, how the NAACP operates. I mean, what's the core message of what's happening?
The progressive liberals, the Democrats in particular, are masters at co-opting various groups. The black church in particular has been co-opted very effectively by progressive liberals over the course of the last 50, 60 years since the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson. And unfortunately, black folks are not aware of the method in which they are used and enslaved, shackled. And the black preacher, not all of them, but many black preachers have unwittingly and many times wittingly been willingly the pawns of those progressive Democrats who would, in fact, progress their agenda through the church. The church was always the hub of the community. Control the black church, you can control the black vote. Control the black preacher, you control the black mindset. And what they don't tell their parishioners is that the masters, the Democrat masters, the progressive liberal masters, they don't want you to love God. They want you to love them. They don't want you to love that wife or that child. They want you to love them. And as you see in the policies, the planks in the Democrat policies in their conventions and so forth, you see that these types of ideas that I'm sharing with you are absolutely true. They operate against the core values of the people who have differences with them.
Well, you know, you judge a tree by its fruits, and you break this down in the film. What's happened to the black community since it adopted the Margaret Sanger liberal, trendy, progressive stance?
Whole communities have been pressed down. Since the time of Lyndon Johnson and since the time of the signing of the civil rights bills, and you have seen a decline, a steep decline in the black culture in this black society. The Negro Project that Margaret Sanger had some 70 years ago now that she started, she actually started that through the black church, where certain people were called out and identified as undesirable. You see that even today with black people. They don't realize that there is an elite group of people who many black people in Hollywood are a part of. And they work against that segment of society, black society in particular, to keep them and make them an underclass. We used to talk that type of thing. Sometimes people look at you like you're crazy. But in the idea of the runaway slave, that guy who ran away, he came back occasionally and he told those who were still in bondage, you can be free. But what would happen? Those people who were still on the plantation, they would run and tell their masters, oh, Bryant has come back and he's causing trouble among those who are still here in this tyranny, in this slavery. And what would happen? The master then would capture Bryant, or at least try to make a public example of him. And that same type of attitude exists toward those of us who are black conservatives, those of us who are black Republicans, those of us who are preaching a message of freedom. That same type of method is used on us. They want to make us examples so that others who are still locked in that mindset won't dare try to escape it.
Well, that's right. And I knew some of the history of this, but when I was on first on Access TV going back 19 years ago, it was in East Austin. There was a lot of black preachers and folks that would use the facility as well. And black folks were probably, percentage-wise, some of my biggest viewers because, they liked the message of liberty I was putting out. And I was also putting out an anti-establishment message about government being oppressive. But then I would have the black leaders, particularly in the parking lot or at the grocery store or in the hallways who had shows there, literally get in my face and say, don't be talking to black people. You know, that's basically our group. And then I would go out to abortion clinics, or mainly in the black area, and covered some demonstrations. And I would have them come over and literally get in my face and say, nobody wants all these black people. Nobody. And they would say actually racist things about black people. And I was like, what is this where black people, all the ones driving Mercedes, were putting down and hating the black community they were leading? And I've since run into other, quote, black liberal leaders. And you go out to dinner with them, they are racist.
What you were doing and what I am doing and others like me around the country are doing, Alex, and the reason you meet with such venom is because you are breaking into their hustle. It is a hustle to race bait. It is a hustle to keep a certain people victimized. And when you try and liberate them, what you are doing is trying to help someone escape what I call a Stockholm syndrome mentality.
I agree. Stay there. I want to come back, sir. I want to come back with the Reverend Bryant, C.L. Bryant. This is powerful information. CLBryant.net. We'll be right back. Alex Jones here back live. Ladies and gentlemen, it's escalating. Russia has used electronic warfare systems over Crimea to down a U.S. Predator drone, they're saying. This is in the French news agency. Russia says intercepted U.S. drone over Crimea arms group. I'll give you more details coming up in the next segment when we cover some other news before we go back to our guest. But they say the surveillance drone was down from 4,000 meters, 12,000 feet up. Virtually invisible from the ground, it was possible to break the link with U.S. operators with complex radio electronic technology. The drone fell almost intact in the hands of self-defense forces. This is just getting really out of control. It belonged to the 66th American Reconnaissance Brigade based in Bavaria. So it's escalating quickly, folks. Pray for peace is all I can say. Man, we're talking to Reverend C.L. Bryant. You can go to revclbryant.net. to find his website. And I want to quantify this, because when this used to happen the first time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the tenth time, it's now been caught on tape with Asian and black abortionists. And I'm just saying that because you remember the videos where people come and say, we like to adopt the babies, the black babies you're aborting. And they say, nobody wants the nappy haired, ugly black babies. I heard those exact quotes over and over again by people that drove new Mercedes, that the black folks would come up to groveling like they were kings. And I always heard anybody that wasn't basically a socialist or anti-gun or whatever was an Uncle Tom or any conservative or libertarian blacks. But the truth is, behind the scenes, these black leaders, a lot of them, literally were like Klan members or something. They would talk horrible about black people and say, we need to get rid of these black people. And we had a, quote, black leader here for a film. I never ended up putting in the film. It was so shocking. I went to dinner with Rob Dew with him. Rob Dew heard this stuff. The guy basically later admitted he was a communist, said we need to keep abortion going. There's too many black people. This is a black guy. So this goes back to Margaret Sanger, 70 years, who said we got to hire blacks to get rid of these weeds, close quote. And, man, I'm telling you, it's so over the top that the average person just can't believe it. But you were in the middle of it. C.L. Bryant, when I talked to Reverend Childress of the Black Genocide Project, he says he's heard exactly what I'm saying. Have you heard exactly what I just said before?
Oh, of course. Growing up in the segregated South, you see, Alex, I remember black and white water fountains. I remember riding on the back. I've written on the back of the bus. I was 4 years old when Dr. King in 1959 spoke at my home church, Galilee Baptist Church. There was an idea that came out of the black community, actually out of the black church, that black people need to be controlled. And also they need leaders. And today you'll understand this, that black people are the only group of people that if somebody comes into the neighborhood or if they talk nationally on behalf of black people, they'll want to talk to the so-called black leaders. My question always is, why is it that black folks have to be led around? Where are the Irish leaders? Where are the Italian leaders? Where are those folks? But every time when you talk about black folks, even from people in the community, they talk about where are our leaders? You'll hear that. What happened to our leaders? Heck, I know what's in my pocketbook. I know what my mortgage is. I know what my children need. I know what I need in order to get by and make it in this country. I don't need anybody to lead me anywhere. Only thing I need is for big government to get out of my way, and I'll get my own. My grandparents, my great-grandfather, former slave, my grandfather, and my father, they were all very independent men, and they were men who did not have affirmative action. They had the sweat of their brow, and they taught me, my grandfather in particular said to me, son, I didn't go through all that I went through so that you could be black. I went through all that I went through so you could be free. And he was talking to me about having the same things that everybody else has, regardless of color in this country. And so, yes, there has been that attitude in the black community, and it has become a part of the mental fiber of too many black folks that they need to be led out of a situation.
I was about to say, these new black leaders, they are like the new slave master.
They are. And the idea was back in slavery time was to drive the slave out into the field so he could get his cotton, the master could get his cotton picked. Now the new overseer, his job is to make sure that that same slave gets to the voting booths every 2 years so they get their votes picked. And so that's where we are in this country as far as the mentality is concerned. And believe me, black folks were the test case. This particular feeling of entitlement and being used by the master is beginning to grow all through this country.
Oh, they admit it's beta tested for everybody.
Absolutely. And they want that. They need that to happen. Obamacare is not just some type of health care idea. Obamacare is a mechanism to further enslave.
Reverend, explain that to us. Long segment coming up. I'm going to let you preach and have the floor when we come back. Big segment coming up with the Reverend. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
I covered this a few weeks ago with Tucker Carlson. It's just a fact. We had John Bound do a special report on it, the Democrats and the KKK. And they had MSNBC do like 3-4 shows on it. Young Turks did shows on it over and over again, admitting some of it was true, but basically saying I was exaggerating and lying about the rest of it. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. I remember the politics of my grandfather coming back from World War II. And he didn't like the Democratic Party and the racism stuff, so he became a Republican, ran for office in his county, and won. And that was a big split in some of the family, not because they were really into race stuff, but because they were Southerners, you know, in East Texas, and you voted Democrat. And so I grew up hearing about that. I mean, I knew about that. And then I knew about LBJ and his letters about, I'm going to have all these N-words voting Democrat for 200 years. They couldn't stop Eisenhower and all the people passing the Civil Rights Act and stuff, And Republican, you know, presidents like Eisenhower, you know, opening up the schools with the military. And of course, there was still some racist elements of the Republican Party as well. But the Democrats were the party of the Grand Dragons, like Senator Byrd. And Nixon later, once the Democrats doubled back and got the minorities using race politics that have been so successful with poor whites, Nixon did have a Southern strategy to try to go to the South that felt betrayed and get them with some lip service. But The point is, the Democrats, when they get up there and they promote race this, race that constantly, and if you don't do what we say, you're a racist, I mean, throw me in that briar patch every day. I am sick of it. And it is a whopper when they have Fox sports commentators and everybody, you know, saying, you know, the NRA is a Ku Klux Klan. They want to kill black people. I mean, it's like saying Martin Luther King wants to kill black people. Because the NRA was founded at the end of the Civil War to teach Northerners how to shoot and to arm freed black slaves. And there was a program to arm black people. And it's so frustrating that Christians did that because they believed in everybody being free. And then nowadays the Democratic Party is so anti-God and at their convention takes God out of it and gets off on it when they are such an evil group of people. And I don't mean the well-meaning liberal black person or white person that buys into it and drinks the poison. I'm talking about the leadership of the Democratic Party. I've been around them. They are into manipulating people. They are into playing people off against each other. They are not liberals, folks. Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. And I'm sick of these definitions that they hijack and act like they are the civil rights movement or they are the abolition movement when it has nothing to do with them. In fact, they were the people that opposed it. And I'm almost cursed with knowing the history. And then sitting here and watching these liars race bait all day. Now, we're talking to Reverend C.L. Bryant, RevsCLBryant.net. And he's the main expert in the excellent film, Runaway Slave. You can just Google Runaway Slave, the film, and find the website and get it. I want to carry it. We haven't got that deal done yet. I told the guys I want to carry it. It's excellent. Because this is a subject I notice, Reverend, that when I cover it, the race pimps go into Linda Blair-like convulsions and almost start, you know, vomiting green pea soup. But you were trying to get into Obamacare, so break that down.
Obamacare is a tool to further enslave not only black folks, but all folks. Once they control your health care, they control you. You were saying something, Alex, that was very interesting that I want to chime in on. It was Democrats who stood in the doorway of the University of Alabama in the person of George Wallace saying segregation now and segregation forever. It was Democrats who tried to stop the Little Rock Nine from going to Little Rock High School. And it was a Republican president, Eisenhower, you mentioned him, who in fact wrote the first civil rights legislation back in 1957. And that same legislation in that year was filibustered and watered down and basically had his teeth taken out of it by two United States senators. Their names were Lyndon Johnson and John F. Kennedy. Nearly 10 years later, the same civil rights bill that Eisenhower tried to get passed in 1957, Lyndon Johnson, with the help of a Republican Congress and Senate, got that bill passed. It was not Democrats who had the interest of civil rights for black folks, but somehow they have become identified as the saviors of black folks, and they use people like Al Sharpton, they use people like Jesse Jackson and Ben Jealous to perpetuate a lie that has been existing now for 50 years. And it is time to set the record straight.
Well, you're doing that. And what about the issue, expanding on that, of the race baiting, the race pimping? I mean, when you turn on MSNBC, it is almost comical how over the top it is that, again, if you don't agree with anything they say, you're a racist. I really see this backfiring, and people that I've known my whole life or most of my life who've never actually been racist, they're not racist now, but they're so tired of being accused of being racist that it's starting to actually cause division. And I think Clarence Thomas got criticized a few weeks ago for saying, when I was going to college in the 60s, there was less race problems than I'm seeing now because of all this race baiting. And I got to say, Obama has been the biggest divider that I could have ever imagined.
I'm going to show you what race baiting and what racist really is. I throw the gauntlet down right now on your show to Al Sharpton and any person who calls themselves a black liberal. I dare you to say anything against MSNBC, NBC, CBS, or ABC. I dare you not to speak the party line that they want you to speak. And I want you to see what happens if you speak your core value mind. I dare you to say the truths or speak the same language that our grandfathers and great-grandfathers spoke. I dare you to talk against the idea that they have planted in your mind in order to give you a paycheck and see just how long your gravy train lasts. That's racism. When they control your thought, when they control your mindset and what you're going to say, what you're looking at and when you look at me is a free man. I go where I want to go. I associate with who I want to associate with. And Alex, I hope you know that after today, I'm going to say what's on my mind and the chips will fall where they're made. I am not beholden to any network, any party, any organization. I'm a free man. I do exactly what that old granddad of mine said I should do. He didn't go through all that he went through so that I could be black. He went through all that he went through so I could be free and to understand for myself that America is the greatest success story the world has ever known.
Absolutely. We have to throw down the gauntlet because that's really what the Democratic Party is all about. And the Republicans certainly have their problems. I'm a libertarian. It's that they constantly are on this moral high ground. And I'm somebody who's protested the Ku Klux Klan probably more than a dozen times when they would come to town and things over the years. And it's very insulting to have them say with Steele, the former head of the Republican Party, that Alex Jones is, quote, deeply racist, and then not show what I said. It's like they don't even have to. It's like saying, you know, Alex Jones robs banks and then showing no proof. It's a new level of slander, libel, defamation. But I've got to say, it doesn't work anymore because they say it to everybody. And I've seen them say of libertarian or conservative or Christian black leaders that they're racist or they're anti-black. It's just such a hoax. And I see that, you know, 95% of blacks vote Democrat. I mean, that is just bizarre. How do you break that hoax? How do you break that mind control?
By doing exactly what we're doing right now, Alex, screaming it from the rooftops. But this is what I want to say to your so-called white, for the sake of conversation, it's necessary. There has been a methodology used for a number of years now, particularly from the 70s forward. It's called white guilt. And white guilt is something that right now is, in fact, being exercised by so many on the left. Whenever there is anything that they want to brand us with, or they want to derail a program or an idea that we're trying to push forward, and it's in total disagreement with them, and it may be about to expose what's going on, they throw out the race card, or they throw out the Uncle Tom card. But it particularly works on white folks, conservative white folks, white guilt. I want to say to your white audience in particular, get over it. You know that you were not there for any lynchings or anything of that nature. You know who you are. And so I would say to you, if they want to fight this fight, then let's fight this fight and get it over with. Because as long as you run away from this fight, they'll chase you with that white guilt. And as far as myself and people like Herman and Alan West and people like that, I would say that when you look at the Democrat Party, you are looking at a plantation. And let me tell you why I say that. Back in the days of slavery, when that slave ran away to the North, he didn't see many free black faces like he saw in the South, where he was in a system where there was nothing but black faces. I see in the Democrat Party often so many blacks, and people ask, CL, how come there's more blacks in the Democrat Party than there are in the Republican Party? It's the same reason there were more slaves on a plantation than there were in the North. It's because there were very few of us who had the courage to leave that system of tyranny and find freedom for ourselves. And so I would say to your white audience, get over the white guilt. And I would say to the black audience, it's okay to leave the plantation, as my good friend Mason Weaver has wrote a book about.
Well, there's no doubt that the Democrats were set up in modern times by Margaret Sanger, and it's just been absolutely devastating. And that same cultural destruction is being visited on everybody because the state with Cloward and Piven, as you know, wants us dependent on the system. And it's more of a sharecropping system, which is slavery as well, where we literally owe our soul to the company store, which is the establishment, is the food stamps. Is the system, can't have men in the house. I mean, this has been a systematic program. For those that don't know, Reverend, break down, because you do a great job in the film, Runaway Slave, break down how they have brought blacks back onto the sharecropping system, because you do a great job on that on the film, and what the numbers are, the illegitimacy, the drop in income, the incarceration, all of it.
72% of black babies are born outside of wedlock. Those are the ones who are born. But this is a more grabbing statistic for you. Taking into consideration, and I don't care what your politics is on this particular subject that I'm about to mention, but just look at these numbers. You have 43% of all abortions performed in this country performed on black babies. We're only 12% of the population. In the state of New York in 2008, more black babies were aborted than born. Now, it doesn't matter what your politics is on that. Again, those numbers, though, are very troubling when you talk about just 7% of the population. When we talk about how to get them further enslaved, this is what the government has found, and this is what they used Barack Obama to do. They have found that the slave or the person that they want to bring into shackles, he doesn't necessarily want freedom. What he wants is comfort, more food on the table, a more comfortable floor to lay on, those types of things. He doesn't necessarily want freedom. He wants comfort. And so we'll give him a cell phone. We'll make him think that he's going to get free health care. We'll make him think that we're going to make his life better with words. But all the time taking those things away from him, making him codependent. There's a sick relationship that black people have developed not only with government, but with money. And I got to tell you this, Alex. Back when I was growing up, before integration, before 1968 here in Louisiana, before it all began to happen, there was a thriving black business community. You had all types of businesses that were black owned. Why? Because we had to rely on ourselves.
Now, not that segregation was good, but that which does not kill you only makes you stronger.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And of course, we wanted to progress from the point where it was black only or white only. Of course we did. But this is one thing that we must know. We were a better people in every way. Morally, we were a better people as far as family values were concerned when we were segregated than we are now, that we can go anywhere we want to go and do anything we want to do. Why? Because we were not codependent upon somebody giving us some type of handout.
Sure, the analogy I use is like if they don't think they can send humans to Mars, so they develop some type of anti-grav because your heart falls apart, your bones turn to jello, you turn weak. And it's not that the oppression was good, but it was better than a nanny state because at least the oppression made you have cultural muscles to know who you were and to be independent and strong, which is the case in any part of history or any culture. Now it's this creeping death nanny state, which is totally destructive.
Even in our school systems then, when the schools were segregated, and Lord knows, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. I'm not saying that the field was level back then. It was not.
Sure, they just traded one evil for another.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But this is what I knew about that black teacher in the schoolroom when I was in a segregated school. I knew that she wanted me to excel. She wanted me to achieve. She wanted me to be the hope of the future. And once that went away, that type of infusement into my personal character also went away.
Exactly. Going under real oppression made people work harder, you know, to be able to be strong and resist. But then the new system makes you think you've won. Here's your government paycheck, and the society degenerates. That is the nanny state. That is Cloward and Piven. That is collectivism. That is communism. That is slavery. That is dehumanization. And look at the facts. It is.
It absolutely is. And that is also the hardest thing to get black folks to understand. And when you look at affirmative action, it was Richard Nixon who actually put that into play. When you look at Martin Luther King Day, it was Ronald Reagan who gave us Martin Luther King Day. You know, all the major achievements that have been won for black folks over the years have actually come from the Republican Party. But somehow the Democrats have hijacked what has happened to us historically.
I tell you, and Barack Obama has been the secret weapon. He just, it's unbelievable what he gets away with.
It is unbelievable, but he was a grand deception. You know, I say this sometimes and people look at me like I'm out of my mind, but the fact of the matter is, Al Sharpton would have made a better president than this guy did, because at least we know where Al's coming from. Most folks don't understand the global world view that Obama has of America and its role in the world. I think Al or Jesse would have been a better president, even though I would not have voted for either one.
Well, they're definitely more American than Obama. I mean, Obama is like a synthetic manufactured. You know, he just is. I want to talk about Obama with you in the final segment. RevCLBryant.net.
.com.
Okay, I've been giving the net out. That's what they told me here. We'll get that right website out then right now for folks.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Folks, the Reverend's going to leave us here in about 5 minutes. I'm going to do a little bit of overdrive and talk about the Russia situation and some breaking NSA news. I thought I was going crazy because I'm looking at revccbryant.net, but com redirects there, so it's the same website, but com. It's a great website, great information. You can follow him at Twitter at revclbbryant and follow us at Real Alex Jones. But look, man, I just want freedom. And the older I get, especially, I realize what goes around comes around. I want everybody to prosper. I want everybody to be happy. And, you know, I go off the character of what people stand for. And, I mean, if somebody's got beautiful music they make, I don't care what color they are. I'm a fan of them. If somebody's a great painter, I don't care what color they are. I'm a great fan. If somebody can carve great cabinets for my house, I don't care what color they are. If somebody's trustworthy, I don't care what color they are. And the system is so corrupt, it wants to make it all about color instead of about deeds, just like they want a collectivist system, not based on free will, free association. And it's so frustrating to see this, that a lot of white folks voted for Obama to get him elected. And I didn't think he'd be good, but I thought, well, at least maybe I was so naive. Maybe it'll create more unity. Boy, I was stupid. And I don't usually make mistakes. And I wasn't a supporter of Obama. I said, well, maybe at least this will... No, they don't want to bury any of this stuff. They want to make it worse. They want to keep it going. And it really has made me, from just being someone who didn't like the Democrats, to really realizing they are really a group of nasty scum. And at the top, not your run-of-the-mill Democrat, and they've got to be dealt with. How do we defeat Obama, and how do we take over the Republican Party and make them actually stand for good stuff instead of playing ball with the system? Because there's not going to be a country down the road if we don't turn this around, Reverend.
I'm going to need people like you on the trail with me this summer and into the early fall. We have what's called the Content of Character Tour that we'll be doing about five of them on college campuses across the country here in the coming months and weeks. And what we're telling young people, we're going to have to recapture the hearts and minds of young people with the truth. We're going to be telling young people that any fool can take off the table what someone else is placed on the table. But it takes the content of character to contribute to the betterment of your society. And I think our young people are very well prepared right now to receive that message, because they understand that, yes, we want to help people, but young people don't necessarily want to support other folks. We want to help them, but they don't want you to ride their back. And right now, young people are beginning to awaken. And I think it's going to take people like yourself, myself, and others like us, like minds, to, in fact, carry this message. As you may know, I am a fellow with FreedomWorks and very libertarian leaning. But also, we are working in order to perhaps revamp the Republican Party. And I like the word that you use, takeover. We're going to have to take it over, and we got to revamp it and make it into something that they may go kicking and screaming to become. But if we are to win in this war, we're going to have to do something different than we've been doing.
I agree. And look, folks, if you want to still be a Democrat, take over your party. It's just, we've got, I mean, you watch MSNBC, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. I mean, the lies, the division, it's like listen to a Klan rally, but for minorities, and it's just disgusting. Reverend Brian, thank you so much, and you've just made great contributions towards human liberty. God bless you. We appreciate you.
God bless you, Alex. Thank you.
Wow, amazing film, folks, and we don't even sell it. You need to get it. Speaking of selling stuff, we self-fund out there, and we sell a lot of great products. I try to bring you whatever the best is. Pro-liberty apparel, Tea Party type, Patriot apparel, Libertarian apparel, Made in America, the Lamola Labe shirts. We got the War on Men issue with the magazine, and I think it's one of the best ever to help wake men up to what's happening and women. We've got the great, my favorite blend of coffee up there, Wake Up America blend, InfoWarsStore.com. And you can always become a PrisonPlanet.tv member to see the nightly news. We're going to come back to some overdrive for internet. Stay with us. This is Key Intel coming up. InfoWars.com/show to find the free feeds.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I wanted to run around with my hair on fire screaming naked, this would be the time. The Russians have now brought down a U.S. drone with the tail numbers over Crimea. This is just getting real bad by the minute. I don't know. They got some backroom deal with Putin to stage some war so Putin can seize more power and Obama can. That wouldn't be the first time they've pulled stuff like this, the globalist. Hitler and Stalin did it over Poland. That's a possibility, but I don't think that's what's going on. I think this is probably real. And it's just so over the top, I don't even know what to say right now. It's so over the top with the chairman, joint chiefs, saying they're ready for military action. Kerry saying, do what we say or else by next Monday. I think the Russians are going to obstinately sit there. All they've done is take over military bases that were already theirs and secure their gas pipelines. When the West overthrew the elected government, you can say what you want about it. The West started this. We lose the moral high ground. We're overrun by criminals that run the government. And it's classic arrogance by an elite. Classic arrogance by an elite. And they already almost had World War III with the Russians back in 2008 with Georgia. So I've never been to Russia, folks. I'm an American. But the media is like, well, if you're pro-America, you got to be for attacking Russia. What? If I'm pro-America, I got to set myself on fire, too? Or if I'm not a racist, I got to turn my guns in? You know, I'm sick of all this moral high ground garbage. Ron Paul's come out and said, Ukraine has a right to be annexed into Russia if they choose to secede under common law. And it's already been part of Russia. And they've got military bases there. The U.S. has got military bases everywhere. Doesn't mean we've invaded all those countries. I'm not even saying that's good. And he says, quote, he's no angel. Putin's no angel, and Russia's got big problems, but the West is starting this. Any geopolitical analyst who wants to be honest, look, Ron Paul's job, he's on next week, and my job is really easy. You study all the angles, you tell people the truth, okay? And from a common law perspective, folks, from a justice perspective, what we're being drug into with Ukraine is bad mojo. Period. You can't point at the other guy and go, well, he's a bad guy, too. If you're the one who climbs into the ring and knocks him upside the head, you don't have anything to say when he starts swinging back. You know, don't Write checks your butt can't cash, ladies and gentlemen. I learned that a long time ago. Don't write checks you can't cash. And the globalists have been writing checks with our children's future and our future for a long time, and now it's coming due. And let me tell you, we've been overtaken by foreign banks. We are conquered. We are slaves to the Federal Reserve. The average American has over $1 million in debt to the Federal Reserve that owns and runs the government, basically, through fraud. Listen, I don't really own that money, and I'm only a slave if I agree to it and go along. Well, let me explain something here. I'm not on the plantation. I may be still sitting in it, but in my mind, I'm not going along with all this, and I'm doing everything I can to wake everybody up so we can get the hell out of here. Escape from the New World Order. You heard of Escape from New York? Great movie. Snake Plissken, Kurt Russell. How about Escape from the New World Order? That's what I want to escape from. Listen, if I was run by Vladimir Putin, I'd want to escape from that. Look at this other article from Bloomberg. Google wants email scanning information blocked. They've now gone to the feds, and they're fighting a lawsuit pointing out that they go through and read your emails. Well, of course they read your emails. It's admitted in the patent. But that's okay. Trendy people, Market Watch, cash prizes for signing up for Obamacare, music money used to reach young people into final enrollment plan. Yeah, sign in on the contract here. Load on the slave ship. You'll turn into a jackass instantly. I mean, there's just no end to this mafia crud. I'm done. And you've got to make a break with it as well. I'll see you this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday transmission.